Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Memphis and Wake Forest have just kicked off. Welcome to College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk breaking down all the bowl action for today, December 22nd, straight through Friday night's games. Big one on, I think it's Tuesday. Wednesday. Boise State and Boston College. First Responders Bowl. The game's played in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. Contrast in styles. More wide open offense with Brett Rippon at the helm, and you have a more of a ground and pound type of blue collar offense with A.J. Dillon and Anthony Brown. I like the physicality of Boston College here. They're catching 2.5 points. I like their defensive front seven, especially in run support. I think they wear down Boise in this matchup.
Should be a close game, Joe. I mean, I would be hesitant to put any money on this game. I think it could be a toss up in either direction. I like Boise State. To me, this is a team that slightly better defensively. If you could stop the ground game of Boston College, you have a shot. And with Jabril Frazier, Curtis Weaver, Tyler Horton out of the secondary, this is a very good Boise State defense that, quite frankly, got banged up during the regular season. Lost a lot of bodies. But the veteran quarterback in Brett Rippon, I like the backfield of Boise State better. Rippon and Alexander Madison versus A.J. Dillon and Anthony Brown. Anthony Brown a little more up and down, a little more inconsistent.
55%.
Yeah, give me Rippon in his final game with Boise State. He's been an all-timer for the Broncos. Again, bit of a toss-up game. I would stay away from it, but I like Boise State in this one.
If you can't pressure Boise, you have to pressure Rippon. If you don't, I watched the kid play, watching him against San Diego State, and you have to pressure him. You got to try to confuse him and get the ball out of his hands because this kid is sharp. Obviously, you know, father played in the league. He was born to be a quarterback. Yeah. It's just what it's in his DNA. This game, I like Boise in this game just because the ability to put up points. And then on the back end, defensively, they're better than people think.
Yep.
The question is up front, can they stop the run? Will they commit to stop the run? Because San Diego State, anytime we played them, that's what we wanted to do. We want to get physical downhill and then hit the edges because defensively they lack a little speed, but they're pretty decent on the back end.
And it's a very fair point, too, because the offensive line of Boston College, one of the strengths of that team, veteran offensive line, all upperclassmen versus a slightly undersized defensive line of Boise State, which David Moa was one of the top players on the interior of that defense. He's one of those guys that they lost for the season. So Boise State, you know, they're using a lot of youth in that back seven of the defense, front four of the defense. Can they hold up against that offensive line of BC? If A.J. Dillon starts to roll downhill, it could be a long day.
Yeah, and that's why I like Boston College here. Boise State giving up around 122 rushing yards per game, but they're giving up 233 in the back end. And when you look at Rippon, you mentioned a solid season, 30 touchdown passes. But Anthony Brown, we saw glimpses. We saw that Wake Forest game when they can run the football and his ability to challenge defenses vertically. He can move the football, and I think that's what I'm going to see play out here. The way you have to beat BC, too, is over the top. They're giving up around 240 passing yards per game.
Oh, it's going over the top.
Yeah.
It is over the top, but I look at the ends for Boston College. We saw them get some pressure on Trevor Lawrence. If you can do that against a smaller offensive line in Boise State, you can't have third down and long.
You got thunder and lightning in terms of that bookend. You got the thunder of Zach Allen, and then you have the lightning of Wyatt Ray.
Yeah.
So Allen and Ray, that bookend of Boston College will be a big concern for Boise State. I mean, Brett Rippon could have a long afternoon if those two guys are on his back all day.
If they pressure him, he'll turn the ball over. It just that's It's just that's who he is, and like, that's most quarterbacks. Yep.
I like Adazio, and but they just
extended and he just got an extension, which extension, is great.
So now you know, hey guys, some stability. Let's win this one, Gabe. You like Boise or you like Boston College in this matchup?
I like Boise State in this game. I always find that the love for Boston College is a little bit so they're a little bit overrated. I find. I mean, you know, at least I look at the numbers here. You know, they're 7-5 against the spread. They're 7-5 straight up as well. They have played a much tougher schedule. I mean, they had quite the gauntlet. They played, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Florida State. I know these aren't the same teams anymore, but, you know, they lost to these teams. I mean, they got blown out. They lost by 21 to Syracuse. They lost to Florida State, who are a terrible team this year. They got drilled by Clemson. To me, I don't know. I just don't know. I get it. Dylan's a good back, but I don't see what people see in Boston College. Plus, Boise's, I think this is Harsin's best team that he had, even though they couldn't beat Fresno State. Boise live for these bowl games, man. This is what Boise's program is all about, beating
Power 5.
Yeah, Power and Boston yep. College.
Although they lost last year to Baylor. Baylor ran all over them.
Baylor was in a bowl game last year?
Two years ago.
It had to be 2 years ago. In the,
did Boise get tattooed?
In Arizona.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was Arizona where the Diamondbacks play. I think it was 2 years ago Boise lost
that
matchup.
Give me Boise State here. I'm going to take Boise.
Yeah,
I'm
with you. A lot of points in that matchup. All three on like Boston Boise
College,
State.
2-1
I'm
dimension.
A lone wolf but Boston College. I'm flapping my... Is Flutie playing in that matchup? Just checking.
Not Doug, maybe a distant
I'll
nephew.
I'll take Matty
maybe.
Ice then, all right? Matty Ice in that matchup. This has to be...
Do you remember who he played, Matty Ice, in the bowl game?
Yeah.
Michigan State.
Yeah. Who was the quarterback back then? I couldn't even tell you. Connor Cook?
I think it was Hoyer.
Yeah? Wow.
Yeah, I remember the game. I watched it.
Yeah, it was Ryan Hoyer.
Ryan Hoyer.
Yeah. I remember watching a game at a sports bar in Montreal. Mm. And I remember telling someone, I said, this guy Matt Ryan's going to win a Super Bowl one day. He got to a Super Bowl, but he ain't winning a Super Bowl.
Well, that was such a huge argument at the draft at the time because I'm working with Mike Mayock, and Mayock, BC guy, was all for Matt Ryan. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, so this guy, like you're because I'm worked together, I don't know, many years before. Quarterback had those kind of interceptions. He was not a first-round pick. Matt Ryan, first-round pick. I'm like, why? Do the interceptions not count? Are you not looking at the INTs at the collegiate level? And he went on. And Matt got better. He's a great quarterback.
But he had
great
a
guy
rough,
too.
Rough final yeah. season.
But
a rough. The expectations were really high entering his senior season. And he just didn't
deliver. Threw a lot of interceptions.
Almost like a Dan Marino's final
year. It was like he had like 20, he had like 25 touchdowns and like
19 interceptions. 19,
yeah, it was something like that.
Remember Sam Darnold last year forced the ball? It seems like when guys know they're going to the NFL, I don't know, they might force
things a
little
bit. Well, I don't know if last year they had a wide receiver or a running back go into the NFL that played with Sam Darnold.
Oh, but how about Josh Allen, for example? Like they said, he forced the football. There's interceptions in Wyoming. He had to throw the ball. You're on Wyoming. What's he going to do, right? I mean, if you had good receivers.
He probably could have threw it and caught it.
Exactly.
He's the best player on their team. So, true. But you're getting a chance to see.
Yeah.
The kid is, you know, when you're a quarterback, it's not just your talent. It's your leadership. He's a leader. They play better when he's playing, and not just because of his talent. Like, everybody plays better.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens in the NFL draft. The contrast in styles here between Georgia Tech and Minnesota, I mean, blue-collar teams, Paul Johnson's last game as head coach. Does he go out a winner? Georgia Tech, a run-heavy offense that's averaging 337 rushing yards per game. They have Taquan Marshall at the quarterback position. You have Tanner Morgan at the quarterback position for Minnesota, another blue-collar, run-heavy type of offense. I'm going to row the boat, Richie. I'm taking Minnesota. They were good to me against Wisconsin. Not sold on Georgia Tech, especially if they fall behind. I know it's a triple option last game, but I'm taking the Golden Gophers in this matchup with Fleck.
I began this evaluation liking Georgia Tech, and then I went over to your camp. I went to Minnesota. Just because it feels like a lot of points. I mean, Georgia Tech is such an up-and-down, mediocre program. They have the ground game with Taquan Marshall. Tobias Oliver played really well at quarterback late in the season, but defense offensively, I see nothing at Georgia Tech. I think Minnesota will be able to move the ball. Mohamed Ibrahim, I mean, Minnesota always seems to come up with a running back. Rodney Smith goes down, and Ibrahim comes in as a freshman and is fantastic. Like, watch this kid against the Georgia. I think both teams will score. I think this is a game that could go over, even though you'll have a lot of running in this game. Two things, Mohamed Ibrahim and Seth Green. We talk a lot about those quarterbacks that are used sort of in a hybrid Taysom Hill, BJ Daniels type of a mode. Seth Green, number 17, is a player who began the year as a wide receiver, now is taking direct snaps, big kid, will mix it up with Tanner Morgan. My only concern about Minnesota, and you know the bowl season is a problem.
Yes.
When two Minnesota players are now sitting out, Blake Cashman, the linebacker, and Danelle Green, their best offensive lineman. Minnesota Golden Gophers are now losing players skipping bowl games. That's my one concern. But
well, at least half their team isn't suspended, like we've like seen in past years with their bowl game.
I like Georgia Tech not only because you got a head coach coaching in his last game, and he's done great at the program. But when you have an option team that's scoring more points per game than a non-option team, you have to score points in order to be a threat to an option team. And
Minnesota has struggled as well.
Minnesota's sitting guys. 28 a game. Georgia Tech's going 35. Yeah. And now Georgia Tech's going to play keep away with the ball.
Yeah.
I think like 5.5, it does seem like a lot. The over, I'm sticking with the over on this one here. But I like Georgia Tech. There's something about sending a coach out winning his last game. Yeah. It's just something about that.
Minnesota is the definition. It's fitting that there's an M. It's a definition of mediocrity.
Yeah.
It has just always been.
So is Georgia Tech, though.
And, yeah, well, Georgia Tech's had flashes, at least. Georgia Tech have sent a few players to the National Football League.
Minnesota, at least over the years. To Rich's point, I said Morency the last time. Barber. Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah, Maroney. Maroney. The Patriots.
Come on.
Who else is from the Gophers in the NFL?
Do you know the last time that Minnesota...
Who was the other back? There was another back that...
Marion Barber?
Marion Barber. Couple good running backs, yeah.
Last time the Minnesota Golden Gophers have had a quarterback drafted, 1972. Yeah.
That's even before back in the day.
I think of the Gophers...
Back in the day.
To me, I think of the Gophers, I think of the TV show Coach.
Yes. I think the Screaming Eagles have had a quarterback before the Gophers.
But it really was Minnesota, right? Yeah. It was there to go.
That was a really good sitcom.
Two of the best games I've ever seen, 1990, Ohio State, Minnesota. Minnesota up 31-0. Ohio State comes back. 1996, Purdue and Minnesota. You had Tutu Atwell and Corey Sauter going up against Rick Tresker for Purdue.
You're just making up names.
I swear
now.
To you, Mike Allstott, look it up, those Purdue unis back in the day. The only concern I would have for Minnesota is the fact of they haven't faced a triple option in the Big Ten. So that's a concern of mine, even though I'm taking Minnesota here. But I feel like Fleck is the better coach. He's younger. He needs this for recruiting.
I don't know. So again, we're playing crack psychologists. So I really don't know. I'm taking a guess here. I don't know if there's a love affair with Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech.
He's kind of a curmudgeon. They said
the guy's not exactly a teddy bear, right?
I don't know. His face looks like it should be. I don't know.
Easy there.
No, I'm just saying. He's always crinkled. He's like, I don't know. He's never happy.
He's going.
Got to odd you.
Their last five. I mean, obviously Georgia did what they did, but they won the last four.
Yeah.
Understanding that this is their coach's last year. I cannot imagine that they do not.
Lay an egg.
Yeah.
And they've been good in bowl games. They knocked off Utah in the Sun Bowl.
Remember when they had half their secondary?
I think the number's high.
They had half their team suspended.
I hope Minnesota wins. But
they had half their team suspended. They still beat Washington State anyways.
Minnesota, I can't even imagine. They not an option team on their schedule.
No.
You haven't seen it.
It's going to be hard. Plus, they don't have a quarterback that's mobile on the roster.
You're talking yourself out.
I know. I might do an audible.
Minnesota will do enough to lose.
But here's the problem, too. And Marshall could just say, let me just say, they don't have a mobile quarterback because PJ Fleck has been there only a year, hasn't really gotten his type of, and he still likes a pro style guy like Zach Terrell that can, he's got pocket presence, but he's not the type of quarterback to run the triple option. So if you don't have that mobility from the scout team, how are you going to prepare?
You think PJ elevates that program in time? Give him about 3 or 4 years. Do you think?
Yeah, I think he does.
I'm not talking about Wisconsin level.
No, but I think they're, You see, but here's the problem.
They hammered Wisconsin to finish the season, by the way.
I thought they were getting there with Tracy Claes. I did think they knocked off Washington State in the Holiday Bowl. They were getting there. They let him go. He had a 9-4 overall record.
That was off-field, too. There were some off-field issues that had to do with it.
So what are we expecting to get back to? Yeah, 9-4 is reasonable.
Oh, for Minnesota, that would be a major.
Every year, and knocking off.
If he's winning 8 or 9 games, he's getting promoted to a bigger program.
Yeah, we'll see. Here's one bowl game that I absolutely love. California and TCU. Cal's done a fantastic job getting back to a bowl game, 7-6 overall this year with Wilcox at the helm. Lost their regular season game ending against Stanford. Couldn't pick that up. TCU at 6-6 overall. They barely got into a bowl game, knocked off Oklahoma State to become bowl eligible. Two solid defenses, but I really like Patrick Laird. I like Garbers at the quarterback position, and I think Justin Wilcox is a coach that's going to elevate this program. To me, better defense by Cal, giving up around 130 rushing yards per game, and the speed to contain TCU's wide receivers.
Yeah, to me, it's so hard to pick. They're very similar teams. I mean, you have teams that are led by their defenses. Yeah, I won't spend much time talking about Wilcox because I completely agree with you. I think he's one of the rising stars in coaching, did a remarkable job. There is not a name player on that defense, and they were phenomenal. They were airtight against the likes of Washington and USC, far superior teams. He's done a tremendous job with kids like Evan Weaver, Jordan Kozanik at linebacker for Cal. But their lack of offense worries me, especially against Gary Patterson. They're very similar teams. I mean, same kind of coaches. Michael Collins? Collins might
from
be
what I
there.
Read, Collins is still banged up. I don't know. You see, that's another thing.
Just
too.
A few more weapons. Jalen Reagor, Darius Anderson, the running back at TCU. I give a slight edge to TCU, but this game petrifies me because neither team can move the ball.
Yeah, that's why
I think
basically
it's low scoring comes down to the kickers.
Yeah, and I think Laird will be the difference. He's not Marshall Faulk, but he can catch the football out of the backfield, and that's where I could see some mismatch problems for those TCU linebackers.
When I look at Cal, it's just, for whatever reason, when they were getting ready to play Stanford, we were talking about it. I said, this is like
dead on,
Battle of the Bay.
You were dead on with
Battle of the Bay. In Stanford, they have that little something. Sometimes, for whatever, Cal, they don't rise to the occasion. Like, they get close, but they don't rise to the occasion. And I just think Patterson's going to have there's something up his sleeve.
Well, let's see.
This will be one of those
games. The kids from Texas will be hungrier.
Let's see what happens.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Rolling into the bowl action. We talked about Cal TCU. We're talking about Alabama offensive coordinator Brian Daboll that's now back in the NFL. I like Cal. You like TCU.
I like TCU. I wouldn't bet my hard-earned money on it, but yeah, I like TCU.
Marshall likes.
I like TCU.
Gabe,
I'll take TCU.
Yeah.
Any particular reason why?
I think they'll be hungrier to kids from Texas. As Marshall stated, I don't trust the kids from Cal stepping up into this spot. It's been a bad year for Patterson. I think it actually matters to him not to be 6-7 and have a losing record.
All right, we'll see how that game plays out. That game is Thursday, I believe.
That is Wednesday.
Wednesday. We got a huge slate.
Wednesday, 9 p.m.
Yeah. Wednesday, there's a huge slate on Wednesday.
The Cheez-It Bowl.
Hey,
that's a true
story. At least they don't lie.
I know.
At least they're being real about it.
That's funny. Well, We'll see. The Cheez-Its.
How many bowls again? How many?
There's 49,
I think. 40 with the national championship.
That's like like getting like a 10th place trophy.
I know, I'm hungry
like
too.
Like
Cheez-It bowl's making me hungry.
I know. Cheez-It bowl.
I can go for like a big handful of Cheez-Its. I'd love a good Cheez-It.
I would love to see that, by the way. So.
Why?
I just would.
You think
would
I'd be like a Gavone eating it?
A Gavone, yes. Richie Gavone. Richie Gavone on TCU. But... David Cutcliffe and Duke take on Temple. No Jeff Collins. He will not be there as Anthony Russo and the crew take on Duke looking for a big bowl win here. I mean, again, contrast in styles. Two good quarterbacks. Russo completing around 56% of his passes. Rich and I are very high on this kid, especially at the next level. I think this is a guy that you're going to see. I want to see almost like a Ben Roethlisberger type. Now, granted, not
reminds
the same.
Me of Bortles a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's a little better. No, I think he's better than
the college than version of Blake Bortles.
Yes, the one that
not pro.
The one that knocked off Baylor as a 17-point underdog. That Blake Bortles.
Yes, that right. Blake Bortles. Do you remember that game against Temple?
What was this running back? What was this Storm? Was it
Storm Dan? No, yeah. Storm Daniels.
Was it? Yeah,
was it Storm Daniels?
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I was thinking
Stormy Daniels.
He's got me thinking.
No,
he's
I'm sorry. Storm Johnson.
Storm Johnson.
Miami.
That's it.
Storm Johnson. I am thinking of Stormy Daniels.
You guys are killing me here. But okay. Anyway.
Storm Johnson, the Miami transfer.
He's shown progression. Now, his pocket presence, he's not going to wow you and put pressure on the perimeter.
He's young.
Yeah, he's the guy that can move the football. Daniel Jones now has struggled with inconsistency. Now, the one thing about David Cutcliffe, he's had his teams prepared. We'll see how it plays out. I could see this game being high scoring. Gabe, what do you think about this matchup?
The total's 54.5 in this game. You know, listen, Temple and Duke have played some great basketball games over the year. I don't know how great this football game's going to be. I'm going to side with Duke and the fact that they're able to bounce back after that humiliating loss to end the season. I like Cutcliffe a lot here. And even though the interim coaches have been successful so far, I think it catches up. Temple's one of these programs, similar to Minnesota to me. Every time I bet on Temple, and I've watched a lot of Temple games over the years, they're okay. They're good. They're not great. They're okay. They're always offensively challenged. Yeah, they've got a smash mouth defense. But with time to prepare for this game, I'm going to take the Duke Blue Devils here. Is it the lock of the year? No. I can't say it's my Jamie Heath, five-star lock of the week. But I'm going to lean with the Duke Blue Devils in this spot.
Yeah, they're laying 3.5, which is, I guess, it's confusing in the sense because we've seen now, we saw two interim head
coaches. Duke's getting 3.5 now.
Yes.
Yeah, Duke. Yeah. Right. So Temple, the favorite with no head coach.
It's a bit of a, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the game that's going on now, Memphis against Wake Forest. Yeah, I would side with the ACC team against the AAC team. And Temple's done a great job. 8-2 over the last 10 games. Only losses at BC, at UCF.
For the record, that game's 7-7 right now with 5.5 minutes left in the first.
Scoring, that's what we expected. Yeah. We expected to see scoring.
Temple, they can put up points. They can score points. And the question is, can Duke stop them? Because we know Duke can score as well. We know they can move the ball up and down the field. We know that. But I don't know. I'm a side with Temple on this one. Mm.
Yeah, here's the thing. When you say ACC team, you know, Duke to me, statistically, they're only giving up around 155 rushing yards per game. But Temple to me just plays more like a physical ACC team, like a Wake Forest. So I like Armstead in that aspect, the running back for Temple. I think he can have a big day.
Armstead is going to be the
concern.
He's
another player. I think he could play on the next level. Will he be a first or a second round pick? No, but this is a guy that's going to be picked in the fifth, sixth, or possibly seventh round that will make a team and spell a starter in the
showing
next
a ton
round.
Of perseverance, had some injuries plays during hurt. His career, does play hurt. Versatile, can catch the ball out of the backfield. But, you know, to your initial point, one of the great things about the bowl games for me, and we'll talk about it a little bit when we get to West Virginia, Syracuse, I want to look at these young players for next season. So a chance to watch Anthony Russo. It was new tile at the beginning of the year. Russo takes over. I like the body of this kid. I like his ability to stand tall in the pocket. He's young and developing, but the combination of Russo and Armstead will be interesting. At the end of the day, for Daniel Jones, this is an NFL audition. We don't know what he's going to do yet in terms of his decision, but I think he's the best player on the field, and I think Duke's defense, especially at linebacker, underrated. I like the Blue Devils.
Thursday, December 27th. This is becoming one of my favorite bowls, the Pinstripe Bowl. I mean, we have Miami. We have Wisconsin. It's a rematch of last year that Wisconsin did win that ball game by 10 points. They were 13-1.
The Orange Bowl?
Orange Bowl. Yeah. In Miami's home field, they didn't step up. They were a 6.5-point underdog. Wisconsin won that matchup. Hornibrook did toss 4 touchdown passes in that game. Will not play in this ball game. Jack Cohn will be the starter. Struggled in his first start against Penn State and really hasn't looked good the rest of the way. How does that affect his performance going up against a Miami defense without their defensive coordinator, Manny Diaz, and more importantly, a defense only giving up 140 passing yards per game?
Yeah, and also without Gerald Willis. Gerald Willis was one of the better stories. Individual players. Another player who struggled with injury while he was at Florida, transfers to Miami, and now he's being looked at as a serious NFL draft choice. Played very well on the interior of that defense. But you have the defense of Miami, far superior to Wisconsin. You have the ground game of Wisconsin. I'm going to side with, I hate to do it because it sounds so elementary, but I'm going to side with weather. You know, you have Miami coming into the Bronx, Wisconsin used to that kind of terrain, that kind of weather, that type of climate, the ability to run the ball. Miami has been awful offensively. N'Kosi Perry now has some sex tape, some off-field problems that are going on. This type of a ground-and-pound, bad-weather game, I'll take Wisconsin.
I'm taking Miami. It's one of my better picks, Marshall. You know why?
Why?
Wait, I'll tell you why. Miami lost that game on their home field in the warm environment, the rematch. So that's why I like that. I'm not sold on Jack Cohn. I watched Jack Cohn. He cost us money against Penn State. He had the ball inside the 30. All he had to do was score a touchdown. 8 straight incompletions, it felt like. The guy's horrible. And Miami, to me, coming to New York, I know it's cold. If they can't stop the run, they're going to lose. But coming to New York, this is a game I could just see the Hurricanes winning.
3 points. We're 3.
They're the favorite in this ball game.
Right. You get 3 over young quarterback, hasn't played well, new defensive coordinator, who knows what the tendencies are. I'm going Miami. Like, it just that points Miami to me. I'm going there.
I can't trust the Miami Hurricane team that's 1-7 in their last 8 bowl games. Mark Richt had a really, really bad week this week, too. Horrible recruiting week.
Yeah.
Basically, like, you know, the smaller Florida schools did as good as he did. It's amazing, too, from the turnover chain to early last year and the big buzz around the program to where they are right now, where people actually look at a Richt and say, what the hell's going on here with his football team? I don't trust them. I'll take a Wisconsin team that's been in a bowl game for 17 consecutive years. I know this is a down Wisconsin team. I like what Rich stated, too, about the weather. I think the Miami kids could have a hard time getting interested in this football game.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm curious.
I agree with
this
that.
This is
all
one of the matchups I want to see.
I'm surprised
which
you make it a best bet only because you like Miami. That's fine. But a best bet, I can't.
You know why? Here's why. Because Richt, again, the pressure's on. And I didn't think he was a great hire for them, but he overexceeded expectations in year one. Now you have to show up. You have no defensive coordinator. You're not expected to win. He needs this game.
But how does he get these kids motivated? Listen, Joe Jackson on defense, Shaq Quarterman, yeah. Jaquan totally Johnson, Trajan Bandy. Right. A lot of these kids are considering going pro, so yeah. I don't know how fired
their only
up.
Motivation could be is they lost to the same team last year.
Yeah.
I mean, if the kids have any pride on Miami.
See, I think this is where.
In Wisconsin, this has to be a running the ball. Like, you got to line up and play big boy football against Miami and see if they want to tackle in the cold.
Right.
That's basically what they're going to. Hey, we're going to play our kind of football. Yeah. We're going to come out 2 backs, 2 tights, and see what they can do. Like, they have to play that kind of football.
John Taylor's on the other side.
No,
of the
I know. I mean, that would be too.
And John's from the area. He's going to have a big contingency.
Guy. I got you.
Big contingency.
Again, that offensive line is huge.
And the offensive line. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
speed versus power.
Yeah. And that's what it is.
This is that game.
They clog those gaps early on. You know. He's got to be aggressive. I think Mark Richt has to pull out.
I don't think he has the quarterback. I think Malik Rozier is his better quarterback, quite frankly.
Well, I hope he does start him because of the sex tape allegations. That's why I'm leaning towards
What are you suggesting? That Perry underachieved in his sex tape? That's why he shouldn't start? What's the issue?
They don't even know if the sex tape was with him. It was too unidentified.
Was it a sex tape illegal? Like, what's the problem?
Sex tape.
Was the sex tape legal?
Yeah, like, I'm just asking. Well, it was a sex tape. Like, I don't like, is there something?
He posted it on his Twitter feed the day after one of the games.
He missed the Twitter etiquette class that they teach at Miami, I guess.
That had to be a hack.
What are you going to say? He's representing the school poorly?
That had to be
Miami.
I don't know.
That had to be a hack job.
You would think.
Could have been.
There's no way.
Could have been.
You know. Yeah.
So he's supposedly in school now, whether he plays in this ball game. That's why I think Rozier's the better bet.
I really liked Wisconsin when I thought Hornibrook was going to play, when I realized he wasn't coming out of concussion protocol.
And I would go Wisconsin if Hornibrook was playing.
I agree.
This would be an easy game to play.
To me,
Rozier could be focused, too. I mean, just because he lost that matchup last year.
I actually think, he's an okay player. He's an okay college quarterback. He's not a great college quarterback.
No, not great. No, I agree with
you. I think if you have an adequate running game with Travis Homer and DJ Davis, I think, you know, you could survive with
Rozier. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Wisconsin runs all over them and wins this ball game by 17 points or more and Miami lays an egg. I mean, it would not shock me in the least.
Audible.
No, I'm staying with Miami. Miami wins. It's one of my better picks. We'll pick it up at the end of the show. Vanderbilt Baylor, no Jalen Hurd for Baylor. No punter Galitz is out for this matchup, so keep an eye out for that. Both teams are 6-6 overall. I mean, if you don't have a punter in college, you're stuck, right? I like Baylor here. I mean, Baylor, to me, if you're going to give Matt Rhule 4 weeks of preparation, I think he's a better head coach than Derek Mason. He might have the better quarterback, possibly in Shurmur, but I love the way Charlie Brewer plays. I've watched him all season long. He's progressed, and I spoke about it earlier. He has the it factor, and he wants to lead his team to victory. Plus, they have playmakers, Mims. They have Ebner. They have John Lovett at the running back position, and this defense has gotten better over the stretch. Baylor wins outright.
Maybe they got better, Joe, but to me, what stands out, I like Vandy in this game. Okay. It's a close game. I think Matt has taken Baylor about as far as they can go this year. Both teams are 6-6. I think it matters. I think you'll see a lot of spirit and passion in this game. Both want to finish the year over 500. This is what I boiled it down to. Baylor defense, 110th nationally at stopping the run. Vandy with that SEC balance of Shurmur, Kalijah Lipscomb. They have a good tight end. Keyshawn Vaughn in the backfield. I don't think it's a blowout, but I think Vandy by 7 to 10 points.
Yeah, I could see points here. I could see points. I don't know.
Really?
This is a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
I think Vanderbilt's physicality be a little bit too much. Baylor did a nice job getting to a bowl game. But they're basically inconsistent, and they're a little bit undersized. Vanderbilt's physicality is going to be too much. You look at Vanderbilt, they've won 3 of their last 4 games, 25-point beatdown over Tennessee, 7-point win against a decent, very athletic Mississippi team, only a 5-point loss against Missouri, and a 45-31 win against Arkansas. To me, there's a lot to like about Vanderbilt coming in here. I just don't love laying the points, but without being stated, I mean, look, Vandy, the Commodores are 8-4 against the spread. Baylor's 5-6-1. I don't really know what we're talking about here. I mean, Vanderbilt's the much better football team. I think Baylor have some bowl wins down the road, Rich, but not this year. I think Vanderbilt beats them
down.
I think
that's a good summary. I think Matt has taken Baylor about as far as they're going to go this year, going up against a decent, it's not a great SEC team, but a decent SEC team with a veteran quarterback, quality defenders. I like their balance on offense. I just think Vandy pulls away in this game.
I mean, look at the schedule that Vanderbilt played.
All right.
Look at the schedule they played. You know, Tennessee, Mississippi, Missouri, Arkansas before that, at Kentucky, hosted Florida, at Georgia. It's a freaking gauntlet, man. All right? It's not easy to do.
Battle-tested.
They're battle-tested.
They're battle-tested, but I think Baylor played well against Iowa State, and I think if they can run the football, they're in this ball game. And again, if you have a young quarterback like Brewer, Marshall, anything could happen. I mean, you give a team 4 weeks of preparation.
They have to score points. I mean, obviously, you have to score points, but at an alarming rate, because they can't get into a close game with Vandy. Then the power and how Vandy plays is going to overwhelm them.
Baylor.
Baylor have struggled, Marshall, in bowl games, too. If you look back, even when Baylor were really good, guys, what was the game against Michigan State? They blew the massive lead. There's a track record of Baylor in basketball and in football. They don't win big games. You talk about Cal just sort of not, never getting over the hump. Baylor's one of these flashy teams, yeah. But come NCAA tournament, come bowl time, they'll lose.
Yeah, we'll see.
They'll underachieve. To me, they're perennial underachievers, but this is a different team. You can't say this Baylor team's underachieving. You know, they're rebuilding.
Yeah,
right. So it's a different scenario, but I just think they're a year or two away from like winning bowl games.
Yeah, last time Vandy won a bowl game was with James Franklin. So we'll see. You know, we'll see if they can do it back to back 9 and 4 years. The Gus Bus is under pressure here as he faces Jeff Brohm in the ball game. They're 4-point favorites in a must-win scenario. If they drop this ball game, Auburn will be 7-6 overall. I don't think they can afford to lose this game. This is an Auburn defense giving up 144 rushing yards per game. They have the better front seven. They have the better offensive line. They should wear down Purdue at the point of attack.
Yeah, I think it comes down to Gus Malzahn. Last year, they went in kind of fast and loose against UCF, and they got embarrassed by losing to the Knights. I don't think it happens this year. Glad that Brohm is back. Watch Rondale Moore, David Blau, DJ Knox. Purdue is capable of pulling this off. I think Gus has them motivated this year.
Marshall, you think they win?
I'm gonna go with Purdue here. These are the kind of games, you know, that they get up for, and this will be one of those statement games to show, hey, here's what we did to an SEC team.
When we come back, we'll be talking about Purdue and Auburn with Gabe and Marshall. Keep it where it is.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We are back on College Football Today. 20 minutes left in the show. We'll be covering our best bets shortly. Birmingham Bowl has started. And Memphis is up 14-7. It's like a jailbreak here in the studios going on. It's like chaos going on. If you like to wager on sports or never have and would like to try, head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you could think of, including sides, totals, and player props where you could utilize your daily fantasy skills without salary cap constraints. You can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. Get an edge with live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually anytime during a contest, capitalizing on in-game action. There are so many ways to make money. Go to BetDSI, enter the promo code FNTSY18 when signing up to get a 100% bonus deposit match. That's promo code FNTSY18. BetDSI, where players get paid.
Big news was that New Jersey's embracing the esports now in Atlantic City, so that could be
really?
Yeah. So that could be another reason why
that could be another outlet at BetDSI.
Another sport to bet on. Our apologies.
I love the idea of betting on things even outside of sports. I love that BetDSI does that.
I don't know how you would, like, what do you do? Like, with
The Bachelor starts, I think, January 6th. So right. you watch all of the women that come out. You got 25 women that come out. And you get to choose which of the women you think will want.
I had a party last week here with the Bachelorette.
Wow.
There was a bunch of hot, uptight chicks running around here. It was last Sunday. They were blocking our NFL. You know, Corey was freaking out. But our apologies there. It was just a dude in the hallway. I was talking to him. He's a fan of the network, and he stopped. He goes, "Is that Marshall Faulk? Oh, my God." And he's all freaked out. He goes, "I wanted to say something, but I got nervous. I choked." And I said, no, man. I said, "It's cool. He's a cool dude." I said, "Just come in quickly, shake his hand." But I didn't realize the commercial break was over. My bad.
Did you tell him, just don't look Marshall in the eye? Yeah, Marshall will not allow anyone to look him in the eye.
So how do you analyze The Bachelor?
Good question. Well, Jesse Palmer was The Bachelor.
Well, how do you?
So was Jordan Rogers.
What do you say? Right. Like, I mean, when you're,
I don't know. That would be pretty. I don't know how I would break that down. Because like, you do go off a past experience, like, you know, like
in the same way we're trying to break down these Purdue and Auburn games, Marshall. It's tough, all right?
It's a lot of guesswork.
It's a lot of guesswork.
What's the analytics on this?
I don't know. I'm sure there's analytics, though. Like, I can guarantee it.
With the
algorithm. Yeah, they are, you know.
I'm proud to say.
He wore blue, and every time he wears blue, he's got a 75 success rate that the girl.
There might be metrics out there.
I'm proud to say I've never watched.
You'll figure out one of the producers or decision makers are winning the money, too.
Yeah.
I've never watched a second of those shows, and I'm proud to say so.
I like Auburn.
Auburn, Marshall? Auburn?
I'm going to go Auburn here. Yeah.
Get Lone Wolf. We know you're on Purdue and Jeff Brom.
No, he likes Auburn.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. This is the time of the day where I'll probably step out and do something on Friday afternoon. Because out of all the bowl games, this is there's a few of them that are just sort of eh. This is the one.
Really?
What's there to get excited about?
Purdue.
I don't lie here, but what's there to get excited about?
First of all, it's like, oh my God,
is Purdue going to finish 7-6 this year?
How about Purdue? No, I'm not just trying to make this up. Purdue beating an SEC power, I think, huge. It's a storyline.
They're not an SEC power.
That's what I said.
I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, I'll go with Purdue as an underdog, but like I said, I'm not. Come on, to me, this is one of those.
I'm shocked.
This is a nothing burger game.
You see, I would get that way with like Marshall USF.
Yes.
You want to watch it, but this is a game. It's an SEC versus Big Ten. Plus, this is the game that beat Ohio State by 20
exactly
points.
For Purdue. Let's say you're 6-6. You win this game. You're 7-6. Your season, but you say, okay, we beat Ohio State and we beat an SEC team.
And you carry that into the
it'd be a successful year for Purdue. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Like it's a huge
meanwhile, Gus Malzahn's hanging on by a thread, right now.
So it keeps Gus's job and it makes Purdue's season look better than what it was.
The next game I'm excited about.
You're excited about that game because you love Syracuse and you think there's no way West Virginia can move the football on Syracuse's defense.
Well, let's be real. The Purdue Auburn one and the Minnesota Georgia Tech.
Minnesota Georgia Tech is a dog. That game is a dog to me. I agree.
But if you had to pick, you know.
I would take Minnesota, but I don't like that game. Purdue, I'm interested in Jeff Brom because he stayed at Purdue, resisted the temptation to go to his alma mater. Now he's playing in what for Purdue is a big bowl game against Auburn. I think they're still a name brand, top tier SEC program. So I don't know. I think it's a good storyline.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I like Syracuse in this ball game here against West Virginia, but it's scaring me that everybody.
I don't think you should be frightened. I like Syracuse.
Everybody loves Will Greer.
Will Greer. And if he's standing on the sideline and the quarterback that's out there for West Virginia is playing bad, it demoralizes the team. I liken it to a suspended player that can't play until the second half being on the field. That team never plays well. There's just something
the mindset
about that. Yeah. He's a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be, I'm curious to see if Dana Holgorsen could draw up a plan for Jack Allison to attack Syracuse's defense. I mean, I can't see them putting up 35. Can you see West Virginia putting up 30
it's
or 35?
It's possible because, listen, we haven't seen Jack Allison since he was in high school. Jack Allison was a high-profile recruit of Miami, transfers to West Virginia. So is he ready? How the hell do I know? Yeah. I mean, I'm basing it off of high school tape. So
yeah, we have no idea.
One of his top receivers is out. Gary Jennings is not going to play in this game. So, listen, Allison could come out and potentially light it up. Syracuse is a pressure defense, not a great defense. You could beat them.
There's just something different about when a guy is – like a player goes down, next man up to a player sits down.
That's a good point.
It's different. Yeah. Like the team, when you get a quarterback hurt,
you rally.
The team rallies.
Yeah.
And when the guy just sits out,
chooses not to play.
Yeah. And plus, not only that, they know that he's not playing because of me. Because of not
exactly.
us.
Yeah, he chose to.
Right. You're taking the me factor out of the team. You're with us for 12 games, and now all of a sudden you're worried about
one
you.
Thing we, he one, just put an eye in team.
One thing we can substantially break down is West Virginia's defense. We can talk about their quarterback not being there. We can also talk about them giving up over 100 points in their last two games, albeit against both Oklahoma schools, Oak State and the Sooners. Yeah, Syracuse's offense is for real. Syracuse put up 42 points a game. They're going to score 42 points in this game. They're going to get
they'll get into their ballpark figure of what they're going to get. I don't know if West Virginia with the new quarterback is going to be able to keep up with that. And I'm buying into the motivating factor. But, Joe, one thing I'll say, too, and I'm not trying to be a Grinch, oh, screw that bowl game. But I don't know if you guys agree, but I just find some of these bowl, the matchups are getting stale. I get why they do it because you need a partner. But I'm getting tired of the old SEC 2, Big Ten 2, right? I mean, guys, I'm a Michigan fan. This is the third time we're playing the Florida Gators in about 14 months.
Yeah, right? I agree.
It's too much. We played them a bowl game 2 years ago. We played in a stupid kickoff. We're playing again. It's not change, them. Oh, we'll play South could, Carolina. It's the you, same crap.
You could change that. Just win the Big Ten.
Yeah, well, thanks, Marshall. Thanks, Marshall. I thought that, too. Yeah, Ohio State doesn't have this problem. I know. They're playing it. Hey, Ohio State's
they're playing somebody different.
Yeah, we're in the Rose Bowl. Yeah.
Feel free to drop that mic if you would like.
Yeah, drop the mic. Yeah.
Cold.
Well, let's talk about the last bowl game for the week. It's Washington State and Mike Leach. They lost the Apple Cup to Washington. Now take on Matt Campbell and Iowa State. Brock Purdy at the helm. We have Gardner Minshew.
This is a team that got screwed. They should have been in a bigger bowl game, in my opinion, Wazoo.
Well, they should have been, but until you beat Washington and you lay an egg in the Holiday Bowl against Michigan State, it doesn't help.
I'd rather see Washington State in a New Year's Six bowl game than Florida.
Think about it. You're ranked 13. You're 10-2, and you're playing in the Valero Alamo Bowl.
How about this, Florida? Exactly.
You're gonna look great on the screen, though. It's going to look great saying, on the screen.
That's
though.
Only good for recruiting. Yeah. That's it.
Michigan have never played LSU before in their histories. The schools never played each other before. And meanwhile, the Florida Gators dodge UCF all the time. They don't want to play them.
No, they
it
do.
Would have been, it would have been perfect.
No.
Force them to play them. UCF versus Florida. You have that nice Florida derby.
The problem,
and you get Michigan Florida, LSU. They could have tweaked these matchups better.
The problem with UCF Florida is a 2-1. And that's the scenario where Florida wants two home games. UCF wants it even.
Danny White is being...
I don't think that's the case. You cannot lose to them. And here's, I don't mean to cut you off, but
no.
I wonder, like, did they get the call? Like, hey, we want to put you guys, because that would be a great bowl game. Just think about it. If they play in Florida, right? That would be a great bowl game. But hey, Florida. So look, No, we don't want that.
Yeah, that could be too,
That was the bowl. I said it 2 weeks ago. That was the bowl game I'd rather see. Yeah. I'd rather see UCF Florida versus UCF.
Florida cannot handle that.
Yeah. And now LSU multiple. We'll get into that game later in the week next week. But LSU with multiple injuries.
Couple of points. Some coaches are really good bowl coaches. Some are terrible. Mike Leach has been a terrible bowl
horrible.
Coach. He's been horrible in the postseason.
Yep.
Matt Campbell.
He lost to that Minnesota team that had half their team suspended. They got shut out, I think.
Gabe, last 8 games, 1-7 against the spread. Mike Leach in bowl games, 1-7. That's a trend to me. That is not just an occurrence.
Matt Campbell won against Memphis last year as an underdog.
We all have the Matt Campbell love affair every Saturday morning/afternoon. Yep. Let's have it again today. I think that defense of Iowa State finds a way to stop Gardner Minshew. I like the Cyclones.
Well, let's rip through the best bets for the week. We already talked about Wake Forest, so I'm on Wake Forest.
Looking good. 21-7 Memphis sucks. I'm on Wake too.
All right. It's okay. It's early. You got to believe. Memphis led 21-7 against UCF and lost that ball game by 16. Believe. Miami, they're laying 3.5 against Wisconsin. I like them in the Pinstripe Bowl. Baylor catching points. No Jalen Hurd, no problem. I think they win outright. Give me A.J. Dillon and A.J. Brown. They get the upset over Boise. I like Cal as a minor dog against TCU. And I'm rolling the dice with the Gus Bus over Jeff Brohm and Purdue in that matchup.
Yeah, I got 4 best bets. Unfortunately, I'm on the Wake Forest train as well, so I guess we're all going. No, that's true. They have the offense to
plus
rally.
Plus, we're catching points.
Yeah, that's true.
Not enough. Only three and a half. I got them on the money line, actually.
Wake Forest, Army later today. I think they roll. I know the line's been going up. We had it at 3.5. It's now at 6. I would still take it at 6. Syracuse, I loved them +7 when Will Grier was playing. To me, that was a shootout that would have come down to the last possession. The only thing that's changed other than the line is the fact that Greer's not playing and Gary Jennings are not playing as well. So I love Syracuse. The other thing I wanted to bring up, too, this is a culmination. This is the exclamation point for Dino Babers. I think he had a great season, possibly coach of the year season.
Good dude.
And didn't leave. going to stick around, you know, for at least one more year. I think he adds the exclamation point at the expense of Dana Holgorsen, another coach who's been horrific in the postseason. 1-5 against the spread, Dana Holgorsen. And Louisiana Tech, I just think...
You're doing it to me.
I'm going to do it to you. I won't even be up by the time this game ends to bust your chops.
I'm going to be in the casino tonight.
I'll be ribbing you about 6 a.m. when I wake up.
Yeah, I know. You're going to be texting me, Joe. Bulldogs. Bulldogs. Well, I'm going to be in the casino.
Jalen Ferguson, I'm going to say it right now, 3 sacks. Tonight,
I hope he forces 3 fumbles too, because I think the over is a play in that matchup.
Hey, best bets. What do you got?
Well, unfortunately, we're going down in flames right now in Wake Forest, but we do have the over in this game. And the in game total right now is 82.5. So we got a puncher's chance here. Moving forward, I got to lay the 6 with Army. It's almost too trendy right now, but we're not going to abandon ship on this one. I think Army are going to end the season with a win. I never win when I bet on unders, but I'm going on the under here. It says over on the board, but I actually want under 60 in this game. I look at Army's ball possession, 38 minutes a game. I think they're going to be able to chew up that clock. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bulls. Always, man, it's always dangerous when you're betting on a team from a MAC in a bowl game, and it's always dangerous betting on anything from Buffalo. I don't care what sport it is, but you know, Sabres, Bills, Bulls, but. I'm taking the Buffalo Bulls. And tonight, let's get a track meet going out there in Hawaii. Louisiana Tech and Hawaii over the number. But just for people who are watching the graphic right now, Houston Army under 60, which means it probably goes over. Because every time I correct picks, I should have just left them. But
hey, Gabe,
I only got 3.
Gabe, the Buffalo curse real quick.
The Buffalo curse.
How much of an impact would a Buffalo Bowl win? Because, you know, it's college, and it's how much will that kind of...
None in the city.
Zero out of 100.
No, I've been to Buffalo, and I try to support them and
not
stuff.
Not enough traction.
I want to buy, like, a Buffalo Bowl tracksuit, Marshall, and the whole 9 yards. Nothing.
Gabe, how long have you been a Buffalo Bill, a Buffalo fan? How long have...
Since, like 1978.
Okay.
The Joe Ferguson days.
Were they good before that?
No, they always sucked.
You're just going right for the heart, aren't you?
I gotta ask.
No, well, listen, when I grew up, Marshall, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but when I grew up, it was all Pittsburgh and Dallas in a Super Bowl every year, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a front runner, man. I'm blue collar.
Listen, man, I just had to ask him.
Joe Cribbs. You remember Joe Cribbs? Joe Cribbs, my guy.
Yeah, I felt the same way. The Saints were awful. Back. LSU couldn't win. I felt the same way. We lost to Jazz. They couldn't win. I felt the same way as a kid growing up.
Pistol Pete.
Yeah, I'm just like that was my every LSU was bad. The Saints were bad. The Jazz were bad. I mean,
when Marshall was in high school, LSU had Jeff Wickersham and Chad Loop at quarterback.
I think you're still just
so when did LSU get good with Nick Saban essentially? Or at least like
no, they were good when they had Arnsparger and they had Gary James back in the day, no? And they had Tommy Hodson and
okay, but not great. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm talking about good.
Yeah, like Dalton Hillier when Dalton was there.
Yeah,
and,
Dalton.
And actually Beckham they were pretty they were pretty decent like the first year that Beckham was there. But I mean it was they were never a powerhouse like you felt like they could be with the talent that we had down in Louisiana.
We got 2 minutes. I want to get it in. 21-10 Memphis over Wake. And your 3 best bets of
come
the
back
week.
Gun, Joe.
I'm going with Army. I know they land 6. I could go with that. I feel like the ball control. Syracuse. I'm taking the cues. And I know I'm going against somebody, but I like Hawaii and Hawaii.
He's going
I like Hawaii and Hawaii. That's it. This is like a statement game for Hawaii. I mean, it's like if there's a home game and then there's a home game on top of a home game for Hawaii. Unbelievable.
Hawaii 5-0. Right?
It should be a better crowd for the bowl game tonight, considering it's not on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
It's going to be about 1,200 people there.
No, I'm telling you, Joe. It's going to be 28,000.
Why would you put that on 10:30? I mean, that just makes sense.
What time is it in Hawaii?
It's Hawaii. It's a Saturday. Saturday, they have the market out in the parking lot. Yeah. So they have the market, and then those people come in.
So what's the time
Saturday
difference?
So it's
have a have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next Saturday.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.